But we've just had an opportunity to learn what we know and what we don't know about the book of Acts. We often study the Acts of the Apostles in the time period after the resurrection of Christ. They did many, many great and wonderful things. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 12:12, "Truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance in signs and wonders and mighty deeds." And Luke describes much of those acts in his inspired book, Acts of the Apostles. But before these deeds were done, before the apostles did these deeds, while Jesus was still with his disciples on earth, he could have miraculously imparted the knowledge and the wisdom and the ability that the apostles would need later in their lives for their character, the character that they needed. But instead, Jesus chose to teach them over a period of time in a long-suffering manner that would instill that knowledge and character in a natural way. By their own free will, they developed their faith and a desire to serve and to understand. Jesus was still engaged in this process of teaching them about the kingdom of God when we read about his actions in Matthew 18. Apparently, Jesus' words hadn't quite penetrated the apostles' minds and hearts yet, or the disciples' minds and hearts yet. But we see in verse 1 that they're preoccupied with questions of their status. What's my status going to be in the kingdom of God? Where am I going to fit in the court? Who's going to be above me? Who's going to be below me? Well, they were still of an earthly mindset, and they were unable to foresee all that Jesus would do and all that was to come at that point. Please read along with me as we look at Matthew 18, verses 1 through 5. "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, 'Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me.'" Unless you are converted. Jesus said that unless you change your mind, remember they were focused on their own status. Metaphorically speaking, this means that unless you turn yourself from your current behavior and become as little children, You will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So does this apply to us today? Sure. Remember Proverbs 16:18 warns us that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Well, a young child in the ancient world could be without status or without rights. That's part of the point that Jesus was making. They were completely independent on their family or on others for their care. They were dependent on a higher power, weren't they? But do we accept that we're dependent on a higher power who provides all of our needs? Or do we seek recognition for what we view as our own accomplishments? James Burton Kaufman commented that the particular qualities of little children commended by Jesus are humility, freedom from prejudice, teachableness, lovableness, trustfulness, faith, freedom from anxiety, and innocence. He went on to write, "Receiving a little child in Jesus' name refers to a complete acceptance of a childlike believer because of his innocent and unrestrained trust in Jesus." Some other characteristics of a young child are purity, curiosity, always asking why. Do we hate to have that same curiosity when it comes to learning about Christ, God's Word? Little children are imitators. They are followers of the example set by those that they love. Do we follow the example that Jesus mapped out for us in the Bible? Do we set that example in front of our own children? As little children ourselves, we too must learn an acceptable pattern should we ever need to exhort a brethren. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5, verses 1 and 2, Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger as sisters, with all purity. Jesus demonstrated that example whenever he exhorted his disciples throughout the Gospels. This may come as a surprise, but sometimes children misbehave. A child who's lovingly chastised and shown acceptable behavior may eventually follow the pattern that we set ourselves as parents. Paul wrote in Ephesians 6:4, "Do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Ephesians 6:4, 1 Timothy 5:1-2, both contain much the same guidance, whether we find ourselves dealing with children or adults. In place of beating them up with words, Paul calls upon us to draw them near, to sit down with them, to show them how God expects us to act. Matthew 18:4, "Whoever humbles himself like this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Giving up all claims to power and status and understanding our dependence on God is what really counts as greatness in the kingdom of heaven. And becoming a Christian is easy. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible contains all that we need to know about obeying the gospel of Christ and becoming a Christian. In John 8:23-24, Jesus warned the doubting Pharisees and scribes, "You're not of this world. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." The same belief is required of us today. Peter explains that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance in order to be able to be baptized for the remission of sin. And before we can be baptized, we must be willing to admit that Jesus is the Son of God. Growing as a Christian can be a struggle. We all struggle with different parts of what God wants us to become once we've obeyed the gospel. And that's why Jesus stresses that we all are of equal status. It helps us admit that we're sometimes weak. It helps us admit and recognize the need of others because of the needs of our own. So remember the words of Ephesians 4:31-32. "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you." And the promise of Revelation 2:10, "Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life." If you want help facing your struggles, I invite you to come forward now as we stand together, united as equals, and sing the song of invitation.